to support the podcast? You can purchase fun and unique items like t-shirts and books at shanesbraindomain.com. Pop on over and take a look. Thank you for supporting the Discovering Your Mind podcast. Aphantasia is a condition characterized by an inability to visualize mental images in one's mind. If you have just discovered that you or someone you love has aphantasia, or if you're just fascinated by the subject in general and love learning more about it, you are in the right place. The Discovering Your Mind podcast delves into all aspects of the mind's eye, including aphantasia, hyperphantasia, and everything in between. Welcome to the Discovering Your Mind podcast, brought to you by shanesbraindomain.com. I am your host, Shane Williams, also known as Shane's Brain. And today we are talking with the one and only Justin Tershansky, who actually knew me in real life when I was in junior high. And we have not talked to each other in real life since high school. So good to see you, man. How are you?
That is true. Holy cow. Yeah, it's been a while. I'm doing good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you very much. So what you been up to? What do you do for a living? What do you like to do? Hang out? Whatever? Tell us about yourself.
All the above, man. So I'm married, been married for 25 years. We just hit our 25th anniversary in December of last year. So
awesome.
We have five kids. My oldest is married, and she's expecting her first in February. So that's exciting. Ooh. So I'll be a grandpa soon. What else? So five kids. My youngest is 13, and then, you know, anything in between. As far as work goes, I'm in real estate. So I do mortgages and real estate. Been doing that for 23 years.
Wow.
So
all right, fantastic.
That's me in a nutshell.
And what are your hobbies? What do you like to do for fun?
Anything that keeps me busy, really. I just enjoy the outdoors. I like to, you know, we enjoy camping and hiking and going snow skiing. Just really anything that keeps me busy. I like working in the yard. I like working on little projects around the house, so.
In this episode, we will be referring to what we call the Apple Graph. If you would like to view the Apple Graph to play along and better understand what we're talking about, you can find it on shanesbraindomain.com in the Aphantasia and Beyond section. If you are unable to view the Apple Graph for whatever reason, it is a graph divided into six sections. In the number six section, there is a very detailed image of a red apple. In the number 5 section, it is the same image but with less detail. Number 4 is still in color but has less detail and more basic shapes instead of detailed hues and gradients. Number 3 is the less detailed apple but in gray tones without the color. Number 2 is a simple outline of the apple. And number 1 is blank, indicating no visualization whatsoever. This is called aphantasia. All right, the first thing I want you to do is picture a red apple in your mind. Now take a look at that apple graph that I sent you and tell me which one of those best represents what you saw in your mind.
Number 6.
Okay. So pretty detailed image. So were you aware that there are people who cannot visualize in their minds like you just did?
No, I wasn't.
And I am one of them. It is called aphantasia. I discovered it when I was in college about 25 years ago. And I've been talking about it ever since, trying to spread the word that this thing is real. So now here I am doing a podcast about it.
Sorry, when you're asked, just so I understand, when you're asked to visualize an apple, which one do you visualize?
Number 1, nothing. No apple.
Really? Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's wild.
A lot of people don't even discover. I'm on a Facebook group for aphantasia people. And there are people in their 60s that have just discovered it. Their whole life, they never knew that people could actually visualize. Well, we just think it's figures of speech and metaphors. Because what happens is everyone just assumes that everyone is having the same experience. And what I've discovered is that that is about as far from the truth as you can imagine. You know, I have a lot of people that I interview that will say number six on the Apple graph. But then when we actually dive into some of these more specific questions, everybody's different. So it's really cool to see where everybody is and to hear new things. I hear new things every time I interview somebody. So I'm excited. So the next thing I want you to do is picture a horse in your mind. Is it like looking at a picture or more of just a thought or something else?
No, it's like a live action, like a live shot of a horse.
Okay.
I see a horse standing in a corral.
Okay. And it's very realistic.
Yeah, moving its head.
Awesome. Is the image more clear with your eyes open or your eyes closed?
Probably, I'm going to say my eyes open.
Okay. Can you do it with your eyes closed?
Yeah, I can do it. But it seems to come more quickly to my mind when they're open.
What about the detail? Same either way?
Yeah.
Do you see the horse in your mind or is it projected out in front of you?
I would say it's in my mind.
Okay. Is the image solid or transparent?
Solid.
Is the image in 2D or 3D?
Yeah, I would say 3D.
All right. Can you put a birthday hat on the horse?
Yeah, I can put a birthday hat on the horse.
Can you make the horse run?
Yeah. With the birthday hat on?
Whatever's happening. So some of these questions may seem silly, but for me, when I first discovered that people could actually picture things in their mind, I got curious because I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that would be like. So I remember one of the first questions I asked my brother, I asked him to picture a sheep and he's like, yeah, I got it. I'm like, okay, can you make it run? Yeah, it's running. And it just blew my mind. Like, not only can you see it, like you can make it do whatever you want. So if the horse made a sound, could you hear it in your mind?
Could I hear it? Yeah, I could hear it.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to sequence visualization. This time I want you to picture a cup on a table that you accidentally knock over. What type of cup was it?
It was a glass, like a clear glass type cup.
Okay.
I pictured two cups. All right. So the first one was more like a teacup type of thing on a saucer. But then I switched it to something that I'm more familiar with, which is a clear glass that we have at home.
Okay. Thanks for those details. That's what I'm looking for. Do you know why you did that?
No, probably just because I'm familiar with it.
What type of a table or surface was it?
It was just a wooden kitchen table.
How did the cup get knocked over?
Somebody actually just pushed it over.
Okay. And when it tipped over, did anything spill out of it?
No, it was empty.
Okay. And did this sequence appear as a video in your mind or something else?
Yeah, I could do either, but I would say it was probably more still shots, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you have any explanation for that? I mean, the horse wasn't in still shots, was it?
No. No. I'm thinking the hand pushing it, sliding it off the table was probably because I just I couldn't or I didn't at the time think of a scenario in which it would get bumped off the table. So someone had to intentionally push it off the table, if that makes sense.
Sure. Did you hear it in your mind?
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah to that. I did.
Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit more about mind audio and sounds in your mind. Would you say you have an inner monologue?
Yeah, I would say I have an inner monologue.
Is it in your voice?
Yes.
Is there always something audible going on in your mind?
No.
It happens just when you want it to?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Are sounds automatically attached to your visualization, or are they optional?
That's a good question. I'm going to say probably automatically attached. You're asking me questions that I've never really consciously paid attention to. So right.
That's why the podcast is called Discovering Your Mind, because a lot of this has never been, people don't think about it. So, but it's cool to figure it out.
Yeah.
When you have a song in your head, is it like listening to the radio?
No, probably not. I'd say it's probably more like a live type of scenario.
Okay, so let me ask it this way then. From a scale of 1 to 10, how close is it to actually listening?
If there's a song in my head, I mean, I could see and hear, I could hear the music, I would say an 8. But when I picture it, it's not coming through a radio, it's coming through, I don't know how to describe it, like a live, like I'm in person listening to it.
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like it's pretty real. That's another one with me, by the way. I can't hear sounds or anything in my mind.
So what's in your mind?
Not much. I would describe my mind as quiet and dark.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
One time I told a girl about this, and her immediate question was, so how do you think? Right? Because in her mind, thinking is attached to visualization. She doesn't understand how they could be separated. The best way I can describe it is a computer without the monitor. It's computing. Everything's happening. I have thoughts and stuff like everybody else. It's just not visual. There's no monitor attached, and there's no speakers.
So I picture in my mind, if you're not visualizing things, then it's just a bunch of numbers and words in your head.
Kind of. But it's very distant and very vague. A dork parade. A dork parade. The people point and gawk. It's not a dork parade, you guys. It's just our family walk. The Sun is on Fire, a ragtag mob of hilarious poems, is available on shanesbraindomain.com and Amazon. Let's talk about some of the other senses. Now I want you to picture a chocolate chip cookie in your mind. All right. Can you smell it in your mind?
Yeah, if I think about it, I can. Yeah.
Okay. What about taste? Can you taste it in your mind?
Yeah, I can taste it.
How real is that?
Probably a 7, 6, 7.
For you, having a real cookie is only slightly better than imagining having a cookie.
Yeah. I guess you could say it like that.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. What about the sense of touch? Can you do that in your mind? Can you hold the cookie, fill it in your hands, break it apart, anything like that?
Yeah, I could break it apart. Yeah, it's more than just seeing it. There's some feeling in it.
In this episode, we will be referring to what we call the nature picture. If you would like to view the nature picture to play along and better understand what we're talking about, you can find it on shanesbraindomain.com in the Aphantasia and Beyond section. If you are unable to take a look at the nature picture, it is a picture of a grove of tall trees with the sun shining brightly through the trees. There is a blue camping chair next to a peaceful flowing river with a campfire nearby. Take a look at that nature picture that I sent you.
Okay.
Can you put yourself in that picture?
Yes. Probably more like I am there.
Okay. Can you feel the sun on your skin?
No.
You hear the river flowing?
I can hear the river flowing.
Can you smell the campfire or feel the warmth of the campfire?
I picture me sitting in that chair, so I can't smell the campfire, but I can hear it.
Okay.
As I'm sitting at the stream, I can actually, it's like I'm holding a fishing pole or something and just enjoying the surroundings. Enjoying the moment. I can hear the stream go by. I can hear the crackling of the leaves.
Okay. Out of the five senses, which one is the most prominent or powerful in your mind?
Probably sight.
Okay. In general, when you close your eyes, what do you see?
Probably just whiteness. Unless I'm asked about things or thinking about things, I don't really have much pictures, you know, in my mind. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay. So why is it white? I mean, for me, it's black. It's dark. Why did you say white?
I don't know. That's just what it is. Because it's a clean slate. Like a clean slate.
Okay. That's cool. See, there's a new one. I've never had anybody say white before with that question. So can you think of nothing if you want to?
Yeah. I mean, then I start getting in my head, well, what is nothing, you know? I guess I can, but nothing specific, I guess you could say.
Do you tend to visualize things you've already seen before, or do you tend to create new and unique images in your mind?
Probably things I've seen. I would say majority of it is probably things that I've seen or experienced.
Okay. It's time for You Fantasia, the part of the show that lets you chime in and share your thoughts, insights, and experiences. Today we have Stacy chiming in. Today's question is, when you close your eyes, what do you see?
Just depends on what I'm thinking at the time. I picture whatever thoughts are in my head. Like if I'm thinking about a person, I'm picturing that person. Or if I'm picturing something that I need to do. I've even done where I picture like a checklist in my head where I'm, you know, marking things off of a to-do list. But yeah, it just depends on what I'm thinking. There's various things.
If you would like to participate and hear yourself featured on the podcast, go to shanesbraindomain.com and click on the You Fantasia section. All right, let's talk a little bit about reading. When you read a novel, is it like a movie in your mind?
Yeah.
How well can you visualize the characters and the surroundings?
I'd say pretty well. Depends how descriptive the author is, but yeah, I'd say probably pretty well.
So if the author gives a lot of details, you can see all those details.
I can put those into the vision, yeah.
Okay. Do you hear the sounds and voices in your mind?
You mean as I'm reading? Yeah.
What about narration? Is there any narration in your mind that you hear?
No. Not usually. No, I don't hear narration.
Do you like audiobooks?
I do, but I like actually reading better. I feel like I understand and can follow along, and it just goes better in my head that way. I can retain the information better.
Hearing the sounds and all that, is that better as well when you're reading versus listening?
Yeah. When I do listen, it messes with my visualization. I feel like I'm left to the readers, the way they portray the material, as opposed to my own interpretation of it.
Okay. Sleep and dreams. What do you do to fall asleep?
Lay my head down, close my eyes, and then I try to relax my body. And by the time I'm done relaxing my body, depending on how tired I am, I pretty much fall asleep.
So visually and audibly in their mind, there's not a problem there.
No.
All right. You're like me. You're one of the lucky ones. usually people are really jealous of that, because most visual people, their visualization and their mind audio is very loud and intrusive, and they have a hard time getting rid of it so that they can fall asleep.
Yeah. I don't think I do. I think I go back to my, when I close my eyes and visualize, I can do it, but it's when I close my eyes, it's more just, like I said, kind of a clear slate type of thing.
Awesome. All right. How vivid and detailed are your dreams?
Sometimes pretty vivid and detailed. I don't always remember them, but I do remember. I'll remember them for about 30 to 60 seconds after I wake up, or after I wake up from the sleep. The detail goes away pretty quick.
Okay. So while you're dreaming, does it feel very real to you? Can you tell you're dreaming?
I can tell I'm dreaming. I have to remind myself sometimes that I'm dreaming. So it feels very real at times.
Okay. If you want to recall a memory, can you see it in your mind?
Yeah. When it comes to memory, though, oftentimes I can think of things, but then I would say most of the time it'd have to do something to trigger the memory.
Is there emotion attached to your memories?
Yeah, some of them. Probably most of them.
Do you experience your memories in first person, third person, or both?
I would say both, as I'm thinking about it, probably both.
Okay. Which one is more prominent? And do you have any insight on why some of your memories are in first person and why some of them are in third person? Or is it just a choice?
I would say probably by default, it's probably third person as I think about it. I can see me in the memory, if that makes sense. Like I can go back to junior high And there was a time where you and I were walking down the hallway talking, and I can't remember what you said, but it made me laugh pretty hard. Like, I can see that in my mind, but I can't play out the details of what it was that you said, but I know that there was that, that moment. So
how would you describe how your mind stores information?
You mean like a filing cabinet type of storage, or like a shoebox, you know, stacked shoeboxes full of memories stacked in a room somewhere type of storage?
I mean, whatever it means to you.
Because you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Exactly. I never know how people are going to answer these questions.
I'd say it's probably more of a, probably more a shoebox full of stuff.
Okay. So can you search the shoebox? Like that phrase people say, search your mind. Would you say you're able to do that? Could you search your mind in that way?
Yeah, I could do that.
Really? Okay. Try and describe that if you can.
Well, I picture, I don't know, I picture a shoebox full of pictures or videotapes or something to then reference the memory to, if that makes sense. So something that would trigger the memory would be a video or a picture or something like that. And then, if it's a picture of something, then I can put myself back in that moment of when the picture was taken.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. So you got a shoebox of pictures that represent different things. And then, okay, I want to remember this one. You grab it out and you put yourself there. Is that okay description?
Yeah.
That is pretty cool, man. What about this one? Are there different rooms or compartments in your mind?
I would say yes to that. You know, work stuff, okay. Home stuff, family stuff, childhood stuff. Yeah, I would say it's compartmentalized.
Okay.
Not so much rooms, just more categorically. Have you ever seen the movie Click? It's like the menu. So in that movie, he pulls up a menu and he can scroll through the menu like you would on a, remember the old DVDs when you used to scroll through the menu and pick your scene, kind of like right. that.
Oh, awesome.
So it's more of a list that I would look at than a physical place, if that makes sense. Not like a room or anything like that. So like I'd go to the family section and, oh yeah, that camping trip, you know, camping with the family. Camping, where did we go? We went to, you know, Arches, and then that type of thing.
Yeah, this is really cool because you're one of the few that describe it this way. Let's talk a little bit about your career. Do you think that your ability to visualize the way you do it has an effect upon the way you're able to perform in your career?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, in what way?
Well, just in real estate, you know, if you're walking into a home, you can help people visualize or see the home is a certain way. Or if they are describing to me what they want or what they don't want in a home, I could walk in and either see it or not see it.
In retrospect, now that you know about aphantasia, have you ever had a client that maybe now that you're thinking about it, maybe they couldn't visualize or?
That's a good question. I'd have to think about that one. I don't know.
All right.
I'm going to be more aware of it
in the future. Yeah.
I am going to be more aware of it in the future, for sure.
All right. Did you do well in school or did you struggle?
When I applied myself, I did well.
Do you think your visualization abilities played a role in it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. One of the things I thought about when I first realized I had aphantasia was no wonder I suck at school. Right? I think with school it's a huge disadvantage.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I thought you did well at school, but what do I know?
I did okay in high school, but junior high, man, that was a train wreck. All right, the last thing I'm going to do is we're going to pretend we're in school and I'm going to ask you some to do some things. And then I want to know your process, what was going on in your mind. All right. The first one is, can you spell the word stormy backwards?
Stormy? Okay. So Y-M-R-O-T-S?
Correct. So what was your process? What was happening in your mind when you were trying to do that?
I had to see it first, you know, stormy. So the words in front of me, stormy, and then I look at the letters and go backwards.
Okay. Simple enough. All right. Next one is, what is 28 plus 47?
28 plus 47 is 60. Is that 6? No, 75?
75, correct.
Okay.
All right. Again, what was the process in your mind?
Old school math. So I see the problem in my head, 47 plus 28, and then I'm just adding it up in my head, and I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, I see it. I see the numbers in front of me.
Okay. What about this one? What states border Iowa?
That's a geography question.
Yep. One of the things I'm curious about is if visual people are better at geography than me, because I've always really sucked at it.
Again, I'm trying to picture the map. So I think Illinois and Wisconsin, is it Wisconsin?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Wyoming on the other. Is it Wyoming on the other side of it?
No, it's not Wyoming.
Is it one of the Dakotas? I don't know. No.
Yeah,
Montana. Is it Montana?
I'm not looking at a map right now. That's the only way I can do it. But I have the answers written down. That's the only way I know.
So was I right? Let's see. Illinois?
No, Nebraska? You did pretty good. It's Nebraska, Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and South Dakota.
South Dakota, okay.
So it sounds like you were trying to see the map, but it was not quite filled in. All right, but let me ask you this. If you knew that was going to be on a test, what would your process of studying be? Just looking at a map for a while, and then would you be able to, during the test, just pull up the picture of that map? Does it work like that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be. It would be looking at the map and then visualizing on the map the placement of each state.
So that's what I mean about an advantage, because I didn't know people could do that when I was in school. And now that I know, I think it's cheating.
Maybe people like you just need to be challenged a little more. That's all.
All right. One last question. And this is kind of just a grab all, maybe a snapshot. Just if you can, give me an overall general description of how your mind works and what you see in your mind's eye.
I would probably describe it as, I don't know what the right word is. I want to say functional or utilitarian. I don't consider myself an imaginative person, right? But I can recall things and I can visualize things. So to me, it's the workhorse. It's the mechanism which all that is done through. I don't know how else to describe it.
No, I like that description. That's good. All right. That's it, man. Anything else? Any other questions you have for me or anything else you want to say on the subject?
Man, you really opened my eyes to this. So I appreciate that. I had no idea that people didn't have the ability to visualize at all anything, because you know what an apple is and you can hold it in your hand. So you know what an apple is. And if you take that apple away, you can't visualize that apple. That's just crazy to me. So
yeah, it's estimated about 3% of the population has aphantasia. If you look at the apple graph again, in the number 2 space, there's just like a very simple outline. Some people are that way. They're very close to aphantasia, but they can picture things, but barely. It's like just very outlines, and a lot of times they can only hold it for a few seconds. So there's people all over the spectrum, and there's like my son, he's a number 3. And what happens to him is he says he'll have a very quick flash of it, very detailed imagery, but it'll quickly fade into very basic black and white shapes without any detail.
That's interesting. So when you're reading a book or listening to an audiobook, like do you read, or is it pointless to read like a novel?
It's pretty pointless to read a novel. I read nonfiction, but fiction, it's words on a page. Yeah. I'd much rather see the movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I appreciate you opening my mind to this. I had no idea. So this is very interesting. And like you said, everybody is unique. So you definitely have your gifts and talents and strengths that I don't have. So.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. I appreciate you. And it was great to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah. And thanks for having me on and asking me the question. So it's been fun.
Yep. You're welcome. All right. Have a fantastic day.
Okay. You too, Shane. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Okay. Bye. Right.
Bye.
If you like what you hear, please subscribe, follow, and engage with us, and share it with your friends and family as we continue to explore this fascinating subject. For additional information about this episode or Shane's Brain, check out the show notes. Thanks for listening to the Discovering Your Mind podcast. You are beautifully unique.